This is the lecture for October 1996. The title is The Minor Prophets for Today. In the original Old Testament, there are three main divisions: the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. The third division, the Writings, is sometimes called in the Greek the Hagiographa, or the Holy Writings. At other times, the third division is called simply by the book that introduced those 11 books. That book was the Book of Psalms. These three divisions all together make up the Old Testament, and they are referred to by Christ in Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. It's interesting that in Luke, this is given here by him, by the evangelist, as referring to what Christ said after his resurrection from the dead. Since Luke wrote primarily under the auspices of the Apostle Paul, and his gospel was going primarily to Gentiles, Gentiles would have wanted to know just what made up the Old Testament books, which ones were actually inspired, because there were quite a number of books floating around in the first century, as we have today, and people wanted to know, especially the Gentiles, just what represented the Scriptures. So we have here, after Christ's resurrection, we find Luke recording what Jesus said to his apostles not long after his resurrection. He said this in Luke 24, verses 44 and 45. He said unto the apostles, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Now, you see that word Psalms there? This is the third division of the Old Testament. It's the introductory book to the 11 books of the third division. The prophets which preceded it represented 6 books, and they're going to include the 12 minor prophets that we're going to talk about today. And, of course, the first division was that of the law. Verse 45 finally says this, "Then opened he," that is Christ, "their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." So what represented the Scriptures? The Scriptures of the Old Testament, which were the only ones in existence at this time that Christ made these statements. It happened to be the three divisions of the Old Testament in the original way that the Jews maintained those books. They call them the Tanakh, named after the three divisions that Christ mentioned here. And in the second division, called the division of the prophets, we find these minor prophets that we're going to talk about. And our title today of this lecture is The Minor Prophets for Today, because we find in the Scripture that the Bible itself is really a book that has been given for those who can understand throughout all generations. That's quite true. But from a prophetic point of view, its application is primarily to that generation that will exist just prior to the second advent of Christ to this earth. It's the generation that just simply precedes the day of the Lord, or shall we say the introduction of the kingdom of God here on earth. We find that it has relevance, the Bible does, for all periods of time, as I said before, but yet from a prophetic point of view, you will find that there is a great deal of relevance to be given to the entirety of the Bible for the last generation that precedes the second coming of Christ to this earth. I hope to be able to show a little bit of that as we go along in this lecture. That's why I titled this not simply just about the minor prophets, but the minor prophets for today. And it is important that we recognize that. Now, our 12 minor prophets were associated with the temple itself. In actual fact, when you look at the design of the Old Testament in its three divisions, most of you will realize that the temple itself was in three major divisions. And outside of the temple, there was an outside temple known as the place of the red heifer. And if you will look at carefully the design of the Old Testament, as I have explained in my book, Restoring the Original Bible, you will see that there are some definite parallels there between the first 5 books being associated with the Holy of Holies, the next 6 books of the prophets, of which are these 12 minor that we're going to be talking about. They are associated with that part of the temple just to the east and outside of the Holy of Holies, known as the Holy Place, where only the priests could go and do their administrations. And then the other books, starting with the Psalms, since David was a king and he was not a priest. But he wrote under the divine inspiration of God that the 11 books that we find from Psalms on down to Chronicles have to do with the eastern portion of the temple, has to do with the court of Israel, both in the court of men and the court of the women, and then outside the eastern gate. And in the time of Christ, up on the Mount of Olives, there was an outer temple, and that is where the red heifer was sacrificed, mentioned in the 19th chapter of the book of Numbers. Now, there is a temple theme to all of this, and the temple is God's house. And in God's house, you have an altar from which he eats. And on that altar, they offered animals. They also offered vegetables, that is, and wheat, grain, things of that nature. And the whole of the temple apparatus was then reckoned as the house of God. And the house of God was governed by regulations and by laws. And here we have this Old Testament itself. And when we get to the New Testament, there is a geographical significance to that as well. But the Old Testament itself is centered primarily on temple imagery. And the three divisions have to do with the three divisions of the temple. And the temple is the house of God. And like I said before, in a house, you're going to have eating. So you have a meal in the morning. That's the evening, morning sacrifice. You have a meal in the evening. That's the evening sacrifice. And you have food of various kinds, and you have drink, like wine and things of that nature, on the altar. This particular section of scripture that we're going to be talking about here, called the Minor Prophets, there are 12 of them altogether, but I must emphasize something here. In the manuscript order and in the information that the Jews have supplied to us from the past, and I might say even in the New Testament, when Stephen was before the Sanhedrin, he actually mentioned about these 12 minor prophets, and he said they all represented one book. Though there were 12 separate ones, they still represented one book. And these 12 representing one book were put together in a particular order, which I'm going to mention to you as we go along here. Now, it has to do with temple imagery. Now, in my book, Restoring the Original Bible, I've explained in detail more or less about it. But let me say right here that the 12 minor prophets of which we are talking about are associated with the table of showbread in the holy place. Now, not in the Holy of Holies. That's the law. That's the first five books of the Old Testament. But the next six books have to do with this priestly area east of the Holy of Holies, where the altar of where the altar of burnt offering was outside, but there was also one inside called the altar of incense, golden incense. And we find that the prophecies of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, mainly given by priests, were associated with a part of the area called the holy place. But the last of the prophets were these 12. And these 12 here were associated with the altar of showbread. And on the altar of showbread, they had 12 loaves. 12 loaves of bread that the priests themselves would eat. Now, they would eat with God in his home, in his house. And remember that Jesus himself spoke about himself being the Word of God and how the people should eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. And there are several symbols that I could give you in the Bible, quite a number of them, as a matter of fact, which speak about eating the Word of God. Take it, the scroll, and eat it. It might be bitter to the stomach, or it might be sweet to the stomach, depending on circumstances. So we have here the 12 loaves of the showbread are, in one way of looking at it, identified with these 12 books that we're going to be looking at. And yet I must emphasize, though there are 12 divisions, 12 sections to it, they are always reckoned as being one book. Now, these 12 minor prophets are called minor simply because the word means shorter in length. Under no circumstances does it mean that they are minor in influence or in importance. They are shorter than the other major prophets. And the major prophets are called that simply because they are longer in length. Notice how Isaiah in our King James Version, which is the first of the major prophets, has 66 chapters. And then we find Jeremiah having 52 chapters. Then we find the next one, Ezekiel, having 48 chapters. So we have these longer books, and they're in a particular order, and in a chronological order, as a matter of fact. Isaiah preceded Jeremiah, who preceded slightly Ezekiel. Now you look at these 12, which we have here, and they're called shorter, minor, because they are shorter in length. But they are vitally important. They are just as important as are the major prophecies. In actual fact, some of the profound prophecies dealing with Christ and with the end time are associated with these prophecies here that we're going to be talking about. They are actually arranged in a basic sense after a chronological fashion. You'll find that the first seven of them, starting with Hosea and going down to Nahum, were written, and they pertain primarily to the period of the Assyrians, when the Gentiles in charge of the Middle East at the time would have been the Assyrians. The next two, Habakkuk and Zephaniah, were written in the Babylonian period, primarily that of Nebuchadnezzar. And then the last three, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, were written in the post-Babylonian period, that is, in the Persian period, after the Jews had come back to Jerusalem and they had established temple services once again. And under Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, as well as Ezra and Nehemiah, they were able to establish once again a Jewish commonwealth there under the Persian government. So these last three books, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, have to do with post-Babylonian period. So when you look at them carefully here, the first seven, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, and Nahum, are arranged in a chronological fashion, basically, in the Assyrian period. Habakkuk and Zephaniah, in the Babylonian period, and though there are only two in the Babylonian period there, they are also arranged chronologically. And then Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi in the same way. So we have 12 of them, but they still must be reckoned as one book. Because in Stephen's time, when he was before the Sanhedrin, in the book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 42, he referred to prophecies within these 12, but he called it the book of the prophets. Notice in the singular, the book of the prophets. And it is recognized as being that. And here's what we find then in the Old Testament. We have 22 books altogether in the original arrangement, 5 books of the law, 6 of the prophets. The former prophets are historical, Joshua to Kings. And then the major prophets are those of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. The minor prophets are the shorter prophets in one book, would be called the Book of the Prophets, and that represents the 6th book of the second division. And the third division, that of the Psalms, which is introduced by the Psalms, altogether in 11 books. So you have 5 and 6 making 11, and then the third division, 11, put them together and you got 22 books. Now with the New Testament, the New Testament actually commences outside of the camp of Israel, up there where the Red Heifer altar is in Jerusalem, because it really starts with Christ, and that's where Christ was crucified. That's where Christ was buried. That's where Christ was resurrected from the dead. And the New Testament and the Gospels, in a sense, commence there. It's for the Gentiles, for the whole world. It has a temple imagery to it, but it's outside the camp of Israel, you see. We have left Israel of old. We have left the temple. We have left it behind. And we're looking forward to a new Jerusalem. We're not the old Jerusalem. And so the Gospels are 5 in number if you include the book of Acts. Just like, and represents, by the way, the New Testament law, so to speak. But then the other books that come on out, they are arranged geographically as well, because when the 7 books of from James to Jude in the New Testament are shown, you'll find that they are references to Israelites living away from Jerusalem, out away. And then when the 14 of the Apostle Paul's are given, they start with Romans, the chief of the Gentile area. Then you have 14 going out to the rest of the world, the Gentile world, where we figure in. But it all comes from Jerusalem, you see. It comes from the center part being the Holy of Holies at the temple. And then the final book is the book of Revelation, which deals with the end time for the totality of the earth, Gog and Magog and all of that coming into it. So what we have here is that the Bible itself is positioned in a way around a geographical theme. And the area that it's centered on is Jerusalem, and then spreading out from Jerusalem to all areas of the world. Now, if we would take this one book of the prophets, as Stephen said it was, in 12 parts, if we take that out of the Bible, then the whole thing falls down, because you see there are 27 books of the New Testament, 22 books of the Old, put that together and you get 49 books. 49, 7 times 7, in 7 divisions. Now we all know this. I've given this many, many times before, but it's important for us to know that these books here, if we're going to see a relevance for, a present relevance in them for today, as this lecture is about, then we have to be knowledgeable of the fact that the whole scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, is a book which is designed with a relevance for us. Now, it has a relevance for all time to come, in the past and so forth and so on. But when we look at this very carefully, you will find that the major emphasis is that this book will be understood, and understood clearly and plainly, in the last generation prior to the second advent of Christ to this earth. And you and I, in my view, have the privilege of living in that very generation. We're starting into it right now. We've got a few years in advance of us. But it's going to be a very exciting time, and God has picked you personally, long before the foundation of this world, this earth, to be on earth at this time, at this very moment. And you're here for a purpose. I mean you, who are listening to me. Just go and look in the mirror if you want to. I mean you. You're here for a purpose. And God looks upon you as important. He wants you to understand what these 12 minor prophets are all about in one book. He wants you to realize that there is teaching here. They are arranged basically in a chronological order. And whatever you do, do not separate them in any way. Keep them in that chronological order. We have historical evidences to show that as early as the 3rd century before Christ, these 12 were reckoned as one book, but they were always reckoned almost in all the manuscripts as being from Hosea to Malachi, just exactly in the fashion that we have them today. Always keep them that way. These books are really for the last days. I want you to notice what the Apostle Peter said in the very first sermon he ever gave after the resurrection of Christ. He was there in Jerusalem on that Pentecost day, and great power from God was then demonstrated. As we know, all you have to do is to read that second chapter, and you begin to see the power that was manifested on that first Pentecost day. It's interesting that when the manifestation of the Spirit was shown there, and the others who were standing around on that Pentecost day were wondering what was going on, the Apostle Paul, Peter, rather, in this case, got up amongst all of the apostles. And here's what it says in chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, now this is the book of Acts, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, that is, these people here, as you suppose, seeing it is but the 3rd hour of the day, it was 9 o'clock in the morning. And this is that, the word is there actually means represents, this represents or is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now the reason I'm bringing this out is that the first sermon that Peter ever gave was to describe and to interpret and to give a teaching on a book from these minor prophets, the book of Joel. It's a part of the minor prophets. He homed right in on the minor prophets. I want you to look at this now. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, this is from Joel. He speaks about the last days. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your young and old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days, that's the last days, of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, that means at that time, shall be saved. That was the scripture that the Apostle Peter used. And then, based upon that scripture, he looked at the people in the eye and said, "You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth," and then he carries on from there on with his teaching. Isn't it interesting that the very first sermon in Christianity, after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his glorification, is from the minor prophets, and it's from Joel, speaking of the last days. Now, it is true that the Apostle Peter at that time believed he was living in that last generation. The Apostle Paul believed the same thing a little bit later on. You can read in the scriptures where they, at the first, up to about 61 A.D., were believing that Jesus would come back within that generation. That's clear and plain. But Jesus also did tell them that they would not know the times exactly. After 63 A.D., however, we find that the Apostle Paul was given further information, as well as Peter and the others, and then Peter finally says, "A day with the Lord is as a thousand years." They then began to understand by the knowledge that God gave to them that there was about another 2,000-year period before the second coming of Christ. So the prophecy here that was given by Peter, properly so, for the generation of the end, you see, he gave it thinking that that was the time of the end. Later on, he found it wasn't, but it does apply, because after all, it says here about the sun being turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord, and also wonders in heaven, signs in earth, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. And at that time, whoso call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's speaking about the last generation. Now, we find that the book of Joel has that information. Hosea also does. And all of the rest of the books have. And in actual fact, speaking about the day of the Lord, the very last statement that is made in these 12 minor prophets, or this one book of the prophets, let me give it to you here. It speaks about the day of the Lord. It speaks about events to occur just immediately before the day of the Lord. It says in chapter 4 of Malachi, verse 4, "Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb," that is the mountain range of Sinai, "for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." That's the last thing is stated. Well, one more verse. "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So the minor prophets ends with the generation just prior to the day of the Lord. Now, what am I trying to get at here? I am showing that these minor prophets, from these verses we have seen already, and there are many others, are very pertinent for that generation that will precede the day of the Lord coming on the earth. In other words, just before the second advent of Christ back to this earth. That's why it's very imperative for you and for me to study these scriptures. Because even though Peter and Paul and James and John and the others at first thought it was their generation that was going to experience these things, and they found out later it wasn't, I tell you this, we are fast approaching that very generation. The end of the 2,000 years is soon coming up. That was finally revealed to the Apostle Peter and Paul. We're getting closer all the time. And though I cannot and you cannot set any dates yet, and we do have a few years in advance of us, we are getting prepared to understand these prophecies here in these 12 books, reckoned as one book. We are getting ready to understand what they're all about. And let me tell you this, some of the most important teachings about the modern world in which we live are found within this section of the Holy Scripture in the Old Testament. Okay, we also have the New Testament. We have the book of Revelation. But you know what we have to do is to put all of those things together into a proper chronological sequence. We don't understand everything exactly yet. You and I don't. But we're getting closer to a comprehension that is going to make perfectly good sense as time goes on. That is why you need to pay close attention to all of these prophecies of the Old Testament, going back to the very beginning of Genesis, as a matter of fact. But this one here that we're talking about now is most important, because there are 12 loaves sitting there on that showbread, and the priests were told to eat, and they were to eat the word of God, and when they would come out, they were to tell the people what the word of God. It's a symbol, an allegory. You understand what we're talking about? And we find that when they would eat those 12 loaves, they would come out with wisdom and knowledge and understanding, because the word of God would then be in them, and they then could tell the word of God in a figure of speech to the people. And I emphasize once again that the very first sermon, the very first prophetical indication ever taught in the Christian ecclesia was from the book of Joel, coming directly from this section of scripture here. So you can see the importance of it. Now, what we will find is that these verses, this one book of the prophets here, plus the others, are really put together for the last generation prior to the second coming of Christ, the generation that will witness these marvelous events. And you should get ready to see them, because they are going to occur. Jesus himself said that the abomination of desolation, which many people thought took place back in the time of Antiochus Epiphanes in the 2nd century B.C., is something that is going to occur yet in the future associated with his second coming. The Apostle Paul in the Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians, speaks about a man of sin coming on the earth at the end of the age who will sit in the temple of God. Some of those scriptures are in the book of Daniel. Daniel is not in these 12 prophets, minor prophets, that's true. But there are certain sections that are, and they're very pertinent. Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14 give a chronological scheme of prophetic occurrences that are absolutely clearly put in scripture, dealing with the time of the end and in Jerusalem and of the Israelis that are over there, and about geographical areas that are associated with them, including the Mount of Olives. We'll find that the prophecies of the 12 minor prophets, reckoned as being in one book, are very apropos for us at this end time generation. On the B section of this, I'm going to explain and show where, even in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it was recognized by the apostles that these prophecies here and teachings, particularly dealing with the prophetic understanding, has to do with that last generation prior to the second coming of Christ back to this earth. Turn over the cassette tape at this juncture for the B side of the lecture on the minor prophets for today.